We all want to know what we consider to be the most important qualifications of a Sunday school teacher. I'm sure we'd all agree the first one must be that this man or woman has a very personal and vital relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that he just knows about Christ, but that he knows him, as the Apostle Paul so earnestly desired, that he might know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And I believe that first and fundamentally, that a man or woman that does not know Christ, his own personal Savior, would not have any opportunity to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. So first, if a man and woman is not a Christian, then he cannot be a teacher. The second, I believe there ought to be a dedication, not only to the Lord Jesus Christ, but to the children or the men and women that he teaches. A dedication that calls for real love. The world is dying for a little bit of love. I remember that constantly. And if a teacher perhaps is not as skilled in teaching as another one, and yet can outlove that other one, he can be the more successful of the two. Fundamentally then, a teacher must love boys and girls, must love men and women. People are very sensitive to this and know and understand whether there is a concern of a teacher. We believe that a teacher should be a person of a real mastery of himself, never in any way losing control of himself, always having a poise. The class will so immediately respond to the attitude of a teacher. And I feel sometimes that people are very skilled in teaching and yet do not have that personal control of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ in his life that makes him have a poise with his students is very ineffective. The cases of discipline arise that make it a situation almost impossible. And I believe that every teacher, if he be a successful teacher, must not only be willing to just clap his hands because everyone in his Sunday school class has found Christ as their Savior, but rather that each one of those persons in the class are put in the hands of the Lord and find out what Christ would do with those students and give these students a vision of the uttermost parts of the earth to fulfill the commission that the Lord Jesus Christ left to go out and preach the gospel in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. A teacher without a vision is a teacher that only brings death to the class and not life. It is a very amazing thing, as we talk to teachers, how few really have a prayer life. Let me say this. Above all things, if a man or woman does not have time to pray, they do not have time to teach. Praying personally, alone, for each member of his class, bearing them before the Lord, what a confidence it gives you on Sunday morning when you go before that class and know that the Lord has in his hands each one of these that are there. To pray for wisdom. Oh, how teachers need wisdom in dealing with each individual person, and how the Lord is the only one that will give a person that wisdom. Don't dare to teach without praying. The Lord prayed before he chose his disciples. You remember, he spent that night before in prayer in the choice of his disciples. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ in his great work of prayer. Think of the Apostle Paul, how he constantly remembered those he was ministering to in prayer. Teachers, not only pray for your students, but pray for yourselves and pray for the world. Put before your very mind the world for whom Christ died, that you might bring to your students the vision that the Lord will give to you. I believe that one of the most difficult things is for a teacher not to have the time spent in his preparation for his lesson just the same time that he spends in his devotional life. I think there has to be two very distinct places for the study of the Word of God. One, do not allow anything to take the place of your personal communion with the Lord Jesus Christ for your own personal life. Your devotional life is absolutely a thing apart. It's just that which puts you into utter touch with the Lord of hosts. Then, after you've been with him face to face, and he's dealt with you in your own personal life, then go to your lesson. go to the Word and find out what the Lord would have you take to that man or woman or boy and girl that you're going to teach next Sunday morning. But I would admonish you, teachers, admonish you, definitely, do not allow anything to take the place of your own personal devotional study of the Word of God and prayer before the study of the Word of God for your students. Whenever I approach a person to ask him to teach, the first thing I do is not to go and say, won't you teach a certain class because we're having such a terrible time finding a teacher. Of course that person is going to say no immediately. Think of your approach. I would go, if I'm going to ask a person to teach a junior high class, I would go to this man, we'll say, and point out what happens today with junior highs and how important it is to teach the Word of God and what we really can do if we really would just win those young people to Christ and show them the list of the names of the boys that are in that class and tell them about their surroundings and their needs and the families from which they come and point out what Christ could do in those lives. And I find out that as we talk together and the importance of that class is presented and the possibilities has made many a person who had at the first said no very flatly say, well, Miss Mears, I really will pray about this thing and consider it. I realize that this is so necessary, and I know that I must have a part in doing the work that God would have in this Sunday school, and I want you to know that I really will consider it. I found hundreds and hundreds of teachers answer the challenge of a great ministry. Remember, when you go to anybody about Christian work, that there is no magic in little plans. Don't give them something that's just so unimportant that it doesn't make much difference. You say, you can do this, anybody can do this. No, give them something that's way beyond themselves, that they know that they cannot do it in themselves, but they can do it with the strength of the Lord. And the challenge of teaching is probably the highest challenge that the Church of the Living God can offer. Don't ever hesitate to ask the busy person or the man who seems to be encumbered with many labors to do the work. I found out that my greatest response is from busy people, not from those who have nothing to do. The busy person, the person who is doing many things, realizes the importance of life and is much more apt to respond than the person who is doing nothing. I remember one time I asking a man who is the president of 32 banks to take a class in the high school department. Of course, everybody said it was perfectly ridiculous to ask him. That man knew the necessity of young people approaching Christ. And I told him I wanted those young people to have the privilege of coming in contact with a man like himself that loved God and was in touch with this world and all of its circumstances. And what a marvelous response we found in that kind of a person. A teacher, for instance. So many people say, oh, don't ask teachers to teach. They teach 5 days a week. That's what we're prepared to. I was a teacher. And I taught on Sunday. That was my preparation. I want to ask the person who really is prepared to do it. Don't think they won't do it. It's an entirely different sphere. And it's a glorious thing. After you've been teaching 5 days a week, just the common, ordinary things and mundane things of this world, to have the privilege on Sunday morning of teaching boys and girls and men and women about God. One of the crimes in our churches today is that there are so many untapped resources, men and women of great abilities that absolutely are doing nothing in the Church of the Living God because perhaps they have never been asked. The clubs and all the social things outside have taken over the strength and the genius of many of our women, and the great functions politically and all the rest have taken the resources of many of the men of our church that have never really thought of their responsibility toward God and how the Lord wants them to serve. And because we have never asked them, they have never been challenged to do it. Don't be afraid. Remember, the church probably has 90% of men and women that are untapped, really. And the few that do the work are just burdened to the nth degree. I often think of Peter when the Lord sent him out on that fishing cruise after the night that he had fished and caught nothing. And then the Lord told him to go out and cast his net. He put it in, and he began drawing up the fishes, and the nets began to break, and he had to call for help. When you're doing work in the Church of the Living God, let's do it so well that we will dare to call and cry for help for men and women that are round about, and you'll find out that men and women will respond and come to thank you for having offered the privilege, my own doctor, my own doctor that, from, that takes care of my poor old eyes, I asked one day to teach in the junior high. And he said, "Miss Mears, I've never taught junior highs. I wouldn't know what to do. I can lecture in the university, but I can't, I wouldn't know what to do with a class of boys in the junior high." And so we sat down together and talked over the great challenge of those boys. Not only has he taught these many years, but he finally just wanted his wife to come and teach the girls of that same department. And over again, he has come to me and told me what that has meant to him, the teaching of those wonderful boys.